there were shepherds living out in their fields nearby, keeping watch over their flocks at night. An angel of the Lord appeared to them, and the glory of the Lord shone around them, and they were terrified. But the angel said to them, "Do not be afraid. I bring you good news that will cause great joy for all people. Today, in the town of David, a Savior has been born to you. He is the Messiah, the Lord. This will be a sign to you. You will find a baby wrapped in clothes and lying in a manger." Suddenly, a great company of heavenly hosts appeared with the angel, praising God and saying, "Glory to God in the highest heaven, and on earth peace to those on whom his favor rests." When the angels left them and gone into heaven, the shepherds said to one another, "Let's go to Bethlehem and see this thing that has happened, which the Lord has told us about." So they hurried and found Mary and Joseph and the baby who was lying in the manger. When they had seen him, they spread the word concerning what had been told about this child, and all who heard it were amazed at what the shepherds said. But Mary, she treasured up all these things and pondered them in her heart. The shepherds returned glorifying and praising God for all that they had heard and seen, which was just as they had been told. Today we're marveling with the angels at their viewing of Jesus and their announcing his birth. I don't really know how angels work. I don't know a lot about angels and what they're like. You get little glimpses of them throughout the Bible, especially in the Christmas story. Angels keep popping up here and there, given messages that are really beyond our pay grade to be delivering. But when I think of angels and I try and imagine what they're like and why they're so excited about Jesus, I can't help but put human characteristics and traits and emotions over them. They're very excited. They have this a message to announce, but the message didn't start here at the Christmas story because the angels have been watching it unfold for centuries. And I wonder what they thought about kind of God's relationship to people. It's like God has this great big soft spot in his heart for people. And it's perplexing a little bit, isn't it? I imagine some of the angels were kind of the big picture type. They'd watch the rise and fall of civilizations. They'd see the new inventions in technology and kind of wars and assassinations and corruption. And sometimes they'd shake their head and say, "Why does God keep sending his prophets to announce, 'I'm going to save you. I'm going to rescue you'? Like, this God has this soft spot in his heart for them. Why does he care so much?" Other angels, I imagine, are a bit more kind of up close and personal, kind of one-on-one type angels. And they'd watch people as they'd struggle and overcome, as they'd work and love and give, and they'd get to see their dark side as well, with selfishness and greed, tearing apart different relationships. And yet God keeps loving these people. Now, it wasn't long earlier that the angel had announced to Mary, "You're going to have a baby." And now, finally, the baby was born, and the angels were given their next assignment. And I imagine angels aren't the spontaneous type where they just wing it. They're like, "Let's all show up and figure out what to say then." I figure they probably sit down and plan. They've got their chief choreographer who's saying, "Okay, first things first, and we plan and we figure it all out." And so they have their big brainstorm session before going to these shepherds so that they make sure they get it all right. So the one in charge of all the choreography kind of starts the meeting off. And they say, "Okay, well, we'll pull back the curtains, and one angel will appear. They'll deliver the message." But one of the other angels in the crew, she pipes up. She's like, "Yeah, but you know what happens every time we appear. God's glory just kind of seeps through. It shines all around." Another angel finishes her sentence, "Yeah. And every time people respond the same way, right? Fear, panic, fall to the ground." So they're reminded, "Yeah, that's okay. That's kind of human response to when angels and the glory of God appears. But remember who angels are in relationship to God anyway, right? God, this holy, perfect, superior being, and then people. And don't forget the sin part of it too, right? The light shines into these dark places, and it comes pretty obvious pretty quick that people have turned their backs on God. So fear, it's probably normal and right response. Then the angels remind themselves, but we're not coming to bring down guilt. We're coming to announce that this guilt is going to be removed. So they come up with this plan. We need to reassure them that we come in peace. No, not let's not use that line. How should we word it, right? And then, I don't know, we could tell them, I know you feel afraid, but there's no need for you to experience that emotion right now because the message we're bringing, and someone says, whoa, 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 way too wordy. Just tell them, fear not. This is good news that'll be great joy for all people. Yeah, that's the line. They write it down. That'll stick. So they figured out their entrance. Fear, respond, no, don't fear. And then the message is this. Today, in the town of David, a Savior has been born to you. He is Messiah, the Lord. As the angels are working through this plan, they say, you really need to emphasize those words. There's some important concepts here. Town of David, I know you could just say Bethlehem, but really, everybody knows the town of David is Bethlehem, and it'll remind them, David was the great king, and God promised an eternal king to come from his line. So say, town of David, today in the town of David, a Savior has been born. You need to really punctuate that word, Savior, because that's an important one, because that's his job description. That's what he's come to do. And the Savior has been born. He's the Messiah, or the Christ. He's the chosen one, and he is the Lord, the King, the ruler over all. Another angel says, that's the message, but don't forget the next line. Because we're not just telling them for information's sake, we want them to actually respond. We want them to go see this baby. We want them to experience him, to worship him. So you need to point him in the right direction. And I'll give him a sign or something. So after the announcer, they say, and this is the sign. You'll find the baby wrapped in cloths, lying in a manger. One of the angels, she gets super excited. Oh, and at that point, stage crew's going to take back another curtain, and all us angels will just appear in the sky, all bright and shiny-like. Someone else says, well, how many of us? Like, who gets to go up there in the sky and appear? A whole herd of them? Herd? That's for sheep, not angels. A whole school of angels? Nope. Not a school, that's fish. How about a swarm? What are swarms for? Bees. How about a pride? Lions, yeah. A pod? Yeah, not a pod of angels, a pod of whales. Okay, here's a trickier one, a caravan. Camels, you got, some of you are smart. A cackle? Hyenas. I heard that you, yeah, we have a winner. A multitude. Now we're talking, this multitude of angels will appear in the sky. 10,000 of them. Okay, you go start additions. Additions for a multitude. Okay, so off they are. A whole multitude's going to appear in the sky. And then one of the angels, she's like, oh, and that's the point where we sing at the top of our lungs, have this huge dramatic effect. And another angel, he says, no. We don't sing. We just say it. They start this little argument. What are you talking about? Angels always sing. That's what we do. No, look at the Bible. What does it say? The angels appeared saying, glory to God in the highest. It doesn't say singing. And while they retort, aw, come on. You can say something in a sing-songy voice, can't you? It's amazing news. We have to sing it. Okay, so they kind of settle that argument. They're going to sing the news. But what is the news that they want to sing? First things first. What's most important? Glory to God in the highest. And that's obvious. That is the most important. And the angels looking at people are probably pretty quick to recognize that's kind of the message that we need. I imagine that was a particular interest to the angels because they could be in the presence of God and they could see people on earth watching the struggle through brokenness of this world, how we're so easily off track. And if we could just stand in the presence of God and recognize His glory, that would change everything. It would change our decisions and our values, our motivation, our whole perspective. Don't we so easily get down when things go wrong? But if we could get a glimpse of the glory of God, we get so easily off track, coveting things in this world. But if we could see eternity and the glory of God, how that would change everything. So the angels, they're going to sing out, a whole multitude of them, glory to God in the highest. And part two, peace. Peace on earth to those whom his favor rests. Peace. It's what we want so bad, but we just can't seem to find. We want it, but then we act just the opposite. And often there is no peace between countries. Friendships break down, even within our own hearts. Sin infects us, but here comes the Savior. Here comes the Lord. Here comes the Christ. He is the one who can bring peace. And by peace, I don't just mean an absence of conflict and animosity, but also this whole presence of joyful tranquility, the richness of interpersonal unity, despite the hardships, despite the pain and the hurt, and inner peace. And this peace of God, it can't be separated from God himself. Just as the angels sing glory to God in the highest and on earth peace, they go together, they're hand in hand. If we want peace to rule on our hearts, God must rule in our lives. God's purpose isn't to give you peace separate from himself, but to give you peace by being the most glorious person in your life. Glory to God in the highest, peace on earth, and that's not just a Christmas message. That's a message for each and every one of us. Now, a day is promised in the future when God's glory will shine throughout the whole earth, and Isaiah 9, as we read earlier, there will be no end to his peace. But even now, as we anticipate that day coming, there is a peace. It's often small and may go undetected, but it's very alive and well. And it's so powerful, this peace, for those who set aside the right to rule their own lives and allow God to shine in and to be that peace. And it pops up in the most unlikely of times, in the middle of turmoil and hardships, even in the face of death, peace is alive and well. Now, of course, Christmas is a hard time for many. It reminds us of our scars and the loved ones that aren't with us, the relationships that we've hoped so much for. But it's at Christmas where we're reminded God's come to make himself most glorious and to give us peace. Now, the angels, I imagine, as they announced this baby being born and they had their whole script ready and they were ready to do it, I imagine they couldn't help but wondering, but how's it going to take place? The book of 1 Peter tells us that the angels longed to look into these things and understand them. They knew the baby was coming and he'd bring peace, but what would God do? And as we're looking at the angels marveling at Jesus, maybe they said, oh, maybe Jesus will be a Marvel character. He'll have this power, he'll have this might, he can do these great things and he'll bring about peace. And then as the years went by and they saw what God's plan actually was, Jesus gave up his own life. That was unthinkable. It was astounding. Can it be true he laid down his life on the cross? And they'd watch as 3 days later, their mouths must have dropped right to the floor as they shouted out in amazement, rolling the stone back, that Jesus conquered the grave. He had victory over death, and it began to make sense. If Jesus can conquer the grave, if he has victory over death, he's the one that can bring peace. But during the Christmas story, that was still to come. For now, they're just announcing that this baby arrived and God would bring peace. It was coming, because this was no ordinary baby. This was God himself who came down. This was God making himself known, becoming flesh, walking and living amongst us. This was our Savior and Lord. And so the angels marveled at this baby. The angels marveled because God was doing something huge here. The angels marveled. Will you marvel with them? Marvel at the Savior. Stand in awe. Be amazed. Stare in wonder as this glorious God would take on human flesh to bring us peace, and allow him to be the most glorious in your life and enjoy the peace that only Jesus can bring. Let me pray for you before we sing our closing songs. God, we thank you for sending Jesus. And the angels marveled and sang and were so excited to announce this. Fill us with that wonder and awe as we recognize how incredible you are. Amen.